Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast. June 13th, yeah, we're ready to go with the Stanley Cup Finals just 2 days away as the, I don't know, Blake, what do you think? The best, I believe the best two teams in the National Hockey League are playing for Lord Stanley's Trophy.
Yeah, no, this is a matchup that, you know, as hockey fans, you kind of dream of, right? I mean, you obviously want the two top teams in each kind of conference winning the Stanley Cup, right? I mean, at the end of the day, whoever wins, that's who's the best team, right? So, yeah, it's kind of one where you pick at the start of your brackets, and this time it actually worked out. I mean, I picked Colorado to go at the start of the year, picked them to go at the start of playoffs. Obviously, I had them going up against Florida, but this, it's the other Tampa team. So, yeah, no, it should be a really good series.
It's definitely right now. If someone would have a hell of a time arguing that the best two teams in the league aren't playing for the finals. I'd love to hear an argument for that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you'd bring to the table on that one. But as a whole, entertainment level of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I think has been really, really good. We've lacked those overtimes that I love so much, but there hasn't been hardly any overtimes. But as a whole, fairly entertaining.
Yeah, the third round was, I mean, the Rangers and Tampa series got off to a little bit of an odd start. I mean, like Vasilevskiy letting in six in game one, and then I'm like, oh, like what's going on here? And then Tampa really figured it out. But that matchup in net was one of the best I've seen in a long time. I mean, Vasilevskiy against Shesterkin going head to head, save for save was pretty cool. I mean, you watch game six. Game six, and I mean the Rangers really didn't put up much of a fight. I mean it was mostly all Tampa in game six, and I mean Vasilevskiy had to make a couple big saves when he needed to, but I mean Tampa looked like they were in complete control.
And we'll drill down a little more into that series, but if you look at the stats, Tampa dominated that series as a whole.
They had that one bad game.
But good goaltending really shined in that series. But the playoffs have had it all. They've had intensities. They've had come from behinds. They've had really good goals. They've had some controversy. And the television ratings are showing it as television ratings for the NHL playoffs this year on TNT and ESPN are at the highest levels they've been in America. So,
it helps when you got young. Well, obviously, it helps when you got two American teams in the final.
I don't think that matters. I don't. Well,
but like, just like the talent. Like, if a hockey fan turned on a TV to go to a Colorado Avalanche game, you see McCarr dominating, you see McKinnon dominating, Rantanen. Like,
I'm gonna argue something though. There's no teams that ever make the Stanley Cup Finals without some dynamic players.
Yeah, but like, how many teams can you name that have like five or six game changers?
All the 80s Edmonton Oilers teams.
No, I'm talking
all the
right,
80s
I'm
Islanders.
Right now, like a fan, young fan right now.
Last year.
I mean,
last year, Tampa Bay had freaking 10.
Well, yeah. So they had $200 million cap.
You know, I mean, I'm looking. Well, I'm going to, you know, I'll break it out right now to you. Cap doesn't mean shit as far as winning the Stanley Cup. Do you know that no team in the National Hockey League has ever won a Stanley Cup with a player on their team that makes $10 million or more?
No, I know.
Never happened. So you know what that tells you? Tells you it's better than
all.
You got to build deep.
You ever listen to, who was it? It was a Vancouver radio. And Ryan
Kessler. I try not to listen to anything.
Ryan Kessler went on there and he says, he asked him about like what he thinks about Toronto, and he said he doesn't think Toronto will ever win because their forwards make too much money. Mm-hmm. And he said, like, look at us in Vancouver. We obviously didn't win the cup, but he said, like, I took less. Luongo took less. Sedin took less. Bieksa took less. All those guys took less so they can play, so they can form a better team.
I don't know that you have to take less. What I think the key for a general manager is in the National Hockey League, and I do believe this.
It's either term, right? Term or dollars.
Here's the recipe for success, Blake. Hear me out. Just listen to this, and I think you'll agree with me. When your team is peaking.
Yeah.
You have to have a strong core of centers. You have to have a good goaltender. You have to have
top D.
Not a top end D man. You need a top core D. Yeah. And what most importantly is going to push you over the edge and allow you to do all this is you need a couple guys on entry level contracts that are playing way out of the level.
Yeah.
Then you're going to win a cup.
Yeah, I mean, and Colorado fits that blueprint to a T, right?
Right now.
I mean, down the middle, you got McKinnon, you got Kadri.
They may be missing one piece.
And then you got, obviously, Makar and Taze in the back end and Kemper and Nett. So, yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about
for sure.
I got to pick your brain on that series here in a little bit, but today's show, it's jam-packed. We're going to run through the Eastern Conference playoff race, roll through the Western Conference, talk a little Arizona Coyotes, Florida Panthers, coaches shuffling the deck, and targeting players, some controversy, and a trade that made me kind of shake my head a little bit yesterday, but I don't know. All right, Blake, let's talk Stanley Cup, and let's go to the East right away, because, I don't know, we always go to the East right away, so we might as well just keep that damn tradition going, so we will. Second round, we saw the Lightning sweep the Panthers 4-0 in what was a snooze fest, and yeah. We saw the Rangers get by the Hurricanes, which surprised me a little bit, 4-3. Really, really good hockey games, except for the last two. It just seemed like the Rangers were like, all right, time to turn it up here, time to go another notch, which I thought was, and I said it all year, I thought the Rangers were a year away, and they still are, obviously, since they've lost. But a real impressive series against Carolina, I thought.
Yeah, Carolina... I mean, Carolina just fell flat in Game 7. I mean, they had it, right? They had the home ice advantage.
They were flat in 6, too.
Yeah, they were a little flat in 6. I mean, but, I mean...
They had a 3-2 lead.
As a Carolina fan, it would just make you wonder, what could have happened if Freddie Anderson was healthy? He was their backbone all year, right? And there was talks of him maybe... coming back for the second round, and it didn't happen. And then it came out and said he had a torn MCL. So there's no way a goalie, let alone any player, is going to play with a torn MCL, right? Especially with how much movement you got to have around the crease. So, as a fan, I'd be a little, you play the shoulda, coulda, woulda game, but I mean, that's a dangerous game to play for sure. But
But you know what? And I agree with everything you're saying.
I just think the Rangers were the better team.
I don't. I don't think the Rangers were the better team. I think they were the less injured team.
Well, they scored the timely goals though.
They did, and there was some.
That's what playoffs comes down to sometimes. Who scores timely goals? Look at Montreal last year in their run. They got a lot of timely goals, right? And like Kreider, they make it. What was it? They make it 3-1. Kreider comes back 20 seconds later and scores, and it's like it's a backbreaker.
Yeah, and Shesterkin was good. I mean, he allowed 2 goals in each of the first 2, 1 goal in the next 2, and then 3, and then 2 in the last 2. I mean, anytime you're allowing 2 or less, you're putting your team, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have said that in the playoffs. I would have said you're keeping your head above water, but when you're allowing 2 or less now in the league, you're giving yourself your team a chance to win, and man, he did just that, and the Rangers did. They had timely scoring, And, yeah, if you're a Carolina fan, you're sitting there thinking, you know, what would we have done if we'd had a healthy team? But, you know, you could say that for a lot of teams all year.
I mean, yeah.
Right? I mean.
Every team deals with it.
Yeah. And timing of injuries is everything. I mean, right. There's no team that's won a championship that hasn't had good timing of their injuries. You're going to have injuries, and you're going to have to fight through injuries. It's just a matter of if they happen in November or if they happen in game three of the, you know, second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that's where it gets a little bit, you know, a little bit tricky. Let's talk a little bit more about this Rangers Lightning. We talked about it a little bit in the intro and touched on it, but a series that I think we both would agree that Vasilevskiy and Shesterkin shined. I think I've solidified Vasilevskiy as one of the greatest goalies of all time, and yeah. I don't even think that's that bold of a statement to say. Do you?
No, I mean, when you look at just this guy's track record and, you know, series clinching games. I mean, he almost had another shutout in a series clinching game, right? He hit four times last year. All four of his series wins were a shutout, right? Like Stanley Cup Finals game five last year, 1-0 shutout. I mean, he did it twice already. Like it's what this guy does. He rarely loses back to back games. I think it's only that was his only time when the Rangers beat him twice. That was his only back to back loss of his career in the playoffs. Like that's how. That's how dominant this guy's been.
He looks very calm in net, doesn't he?
Just, I mean, extremely you look at his calm. Eyes, they're like this big, and he's. Like,
but he's, but he, I don't know. But it's like a calming factor. Like he's not. I don't know. And most good goalies, you don't ever look at him and go, "Oh boy, he's rattled." But I'm not going to lie. I mean, we'll talk about this series a little bit in further in depth. But I mean, how many times in the last two series did you look at Mike Smith and go, oh my goodness, is this guy rattled? But I watched Vasilevskiy and I had never, ever, ever felt, even in his worst moments, that he was rattled at all. And then the Lightning just keeps, you know, with injuries, they just keep figuring out a way to fight through, work through, and make things happen. And after going down 2-0 and in convincing, the Rangers win game 2-6-2. The Rangers win game 1-6-2, take a 1-0 lead in Tampa, and then come back and win game 2-3-2 in Tampa. Goes on to a 2-0 lead, and they head home with that, looking like everything's in control. Tampa Bay fights back in game 3, wins 3-2. Knocks off another win in game 4-1. They're right back in the series. And then game 5, the Lightning, this is where I felt like took charge of the series. Yeah. and go up, you know, 3-2 with a 3-1 win. And then game 6, I just felt like the Rangers just looked defeated. Defeated is not the word. They looked tired. They looked damn tired.
Yeah. I'm going to tell one of my questions about the Capo scratch, so we'll talk about that later. Yeah. But, what did you think of, like, I don't know, just like, I just feel like the Rangers just ran out of gas.
They did.
It's like.
But look at their series. They had a long 7-game series with Carolina in which they were down most of the series.
They went 7 against Pittsburgh, did they not?
And they were down that series, too.
Yeah, they were down 3-1.
Yeah, and they were down against Carolina. I mean,
when you play that must-win style hockey, it's just taxing on your body,
mentally and physically.
Yeah,
and I think that showed.
Really, nobody really expects them to go to the conference final, right? So, I mean, this.
Oh, I don't know. Team. I don't know.
This is a young team, though.
I said they're a year away.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this year, I said they're a year away.
Right.
And they took a hell of a step in that direction.
Well, I mean, sometimes you go as far as your goalie will take you, right?
I think the Rangers
played so good.
I think the Rangers took a hell of a step this year. Yeah. Now they got to figure out a way to keep Andrew Kopp. I don't know how that's going to happen, but that guy was a stud.
He was good. That was a good pickup.
He's probably right now, if you ask me, who's the best pickup.
That's tough, though. If they can't bring him back, they send a first over to Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winnipeg's loving life right now. They sent a first and a second, didn't they?
No, it was a conditional second, then turned into a first if the Rangers won two rounds.
Well, they sent. There was other pieces involved, though, too. Another draft pick that was involved, too. I can't remember what it was, but it was a hell of a haul.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a haul. And, yeah, and we said this thing 3 years in a row, and Tampa Bay Lightning move on to the Stanley Cup Finals. So let's shift gears on over to the Western Conference. Let's do a quick rundown of round two as the Colorado Avalanche beat the St. Louis Blues 4-2. And I don't know. I mean, these are the only two losses. Can think about this. Put this in perspective. This is the only two losses that the Colorado Avalanche have had the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
And that was in...
Repeat that? What did you say, sorry? Cut out there.
The only two losses that the Avalanche have had in the whole Stanley Cup playoffs came with the two games to the Blues.
Yeah, right, yeah.
They have not lost another game. They swept round one. They swept the Oilers.
Hey, listen. Like, say what you want. Like, I was not surprised whatsoever that they swept Edmonton.
No, and we're going to talk about that next
in a minute. I was not even one bit surprised.
No, I wasn't either. But let's go back to this St. Louis. And I don't know. Is this – we've said this – I don't. I feel like I say this every year. Is this St. Louis's last shot at this? Or is this team just going to be good?
Kadri runs into Binghamton, right? Binghamton's out for the series. And, like, I'm not saying that St. Louis would have won, but no. Binghamton was on fire.
I know.
Up until that point.
But how long for? Like,
think about it. If St. Louis wins game one, where they get 56 saves from Binghamton in an overtime loss, I mean, that's a completely different series, right? I mean,
absolutely. One game changes
series. Binghamton, if you're a St. Louis fan and you could take one thing away from this, is it looks like Bennington's refound his game. And that's huge. Because
are you really going to say this?
I mean, he played well in the playoffs. He came in, he played well in the Minnesota series. He came in, he played well against Colorado.
Do you know what I would do if I was St. Louis?
It's a six-game sample size, but I mean...
You know what I'd do if I was St. Louis? Listen, hear me out now. You'll probably chuckle.
Billy Huso's a free agent, too.
Okay, so you know what I would do? I'll tell you right now what I would do. I would go in and I'd sign Billy Huso. Because you can get him at a halfway decent salary. You can. You can. And you know who? And just hear me out here. Because you're gonna agree with me on this one. And then you know what I'd do? I'd pick up the phone and I'd call a toll-free call up to Edmonton. And say, listen here, you want a Stanley Cup winning goalie? We'll give him to you. Let's make it.
Why doesn't Edmonton just sign Ville Husso?
No experience. And they'd have no money, but no experience.
Well,
St. Louis, you know what they could do? You know what they could do?
I think somebody, I don't think Ville Husso is going to be a St. Louis Blue next year. I think somebody's going to throw money at him. And one of those teams might be the Toronto Maple Leafs.
They don't have any money to throw, Blake.
Well, they got to sign a goalie.
I know, but how much can you? They're going to have to.
Off the books. Off the books.
They're going to have to throw, what, $4 million tops. That's it. That's it.
Yeah. And
you're not getting Ville Husso for $4 million.
I think you could.
I don't think so.
Okay. You just said St. Louis could sign this guy for no money on the dollar.
At a value. They'll get him at a value. Okay, but listen to this. If you're Ville Husso, do you want to go to Toronto or stay in St. Louis?
It'd be hard to turn down a starting gig in Toronto.
Yeah, I would want $2 million more to deal with their bullshit.
For sure, yeah.
They can't afford to give them $2 million more.
But, like, if you look at Toronto.
If Toronto signs Ville Husso.
Toronto's team compared to St. Louis team, I'd probably rather play in Toronto.
Okay, but Toronto can't afford them.
See.
I love how everybody, I'm on all these Facebook groups and I'm on all this thing and everybody's like, we need to go out and get this guy. Well, that would be freaking wonderful if we had any money. It's going to, Toronto is going to have to move some dollars out this offseason. They're going to have to move dollars out. Yep. No way around it. The Toronto Maple Leafs are not going to be on paper, as good of a team next year as they were this year.
No.
They're not. And that's a case for a lot of teams, not just Toronto.
I agree.
Let's move on and talk about the Edmonton-Calgary series as the Flames get up 1-0 and drop 4 straight to the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, I don't know where you want to start. I mean, let's just take it right to Game 5. I think the Flames got absolutely hosed. I've seen that play get called a goal many times.
Have you ever seen that? Okay, let me ask this question. Have you ever seen that play, which has happened before, ever not be called a goal? It's been a goal every time I've seen it.
I think I've seen it get called maybe twice.
I didn't.
But the thing is, like, A, the puck was already going in. This has given Brad PTSD as we talk about it. But
no, it's not, because I don't think it changes the series. I don't think it changes the outcome of the series. It could, but I don't think
the puck was going in. B, he was literally getting checked from behind. So, like, I think it's just, like, natural instinct. Like, I don't think it was a kicking motion.
I want the NHL to explain to me how a NFL field goal kicker could kick a field goal without raising his foot off the grass. I need to know that. I need to know how. Have you ever seen a soccer player kick a soccer ball without raising his foot off the grass?
No.
Have you ever seen a guy hit a golf ball without raising his club off the ground?
No.
It just, you can't do it. And so this doesn't make any sense. So if you're going to have this rule and you're going to not be able to figure out when you're doing replay, and 10 guys watching the replay are not going to be able to figure it out, then you need to eliminate it and just say plain and simple, puck has to go in off of a stick below the crossbar to be a goal.
I just feel like you should be able to kick a puck in. If you can kick a puck in, that's impressive. Honestly, a puck should be able to get directed.
You know, this league,
your body minus the stick above the crossbar.
I hate ripping on this league, but I'm gonna for on this one because, and not just because it's the Flames, but okay. Yeah. So they say, well, we can't have that. And I agree with you, Blake. Any way you can get into the net, do it. Okay?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. The league says, well, we can't have kicking motion because it's dangerous. But it's okay for players to jump the bench with skates. It's so freaking contradictory.
They just got to get rid of the doors.
Well, I've always said that.
Nobody even uses them.
Well, you can have doors, but they can only be opened on stoppages of play. That's easy. Yeah. Easy fix. But
Brock Besser broke his damn back. Brock
killed himself on that. Yeah. And he's not the only one. But, I don't know. I look at this series and the game one was a win for the Flames. But when it was over, I was like, that was ugly. You know, although, I mean, I love watching Mike Smith suck, but you're not going to win.
But Markstrom sucked just as bad.
Yeah, for the most part, he did.
Markstrom was – I was so disappointed in Jacob Markstrom. I mean, what was it? Game three.
He was bad.
Game three. You guys go up 3-0. You chase Mike Smith.
No. That's game two.
Yeah, game two. You guys go up 3-0. Chase Mike Smith the first 10 minutes of the game, and you end up losing that game?
Mm-hmm.
How? You had a stranglehold that series. You would have left 2-0 in series.
Couple things. I don't know, man. Here's a couple things. Number one, Markstrom was not as good as he needed to be. Now, he was awesome in the Dallas series. He was not even close to good in the Edmonton series.
No.
You are not going to win a series allowing 6-5-4-5-5. You're not a winner. You're not winning. I don't care who you are.
And you got to give credit to Edmonton. They played well offensively.
And you know what? I'll give Edmonton a lot of credit. They had a lot of guys step up that weren't expected to step up and be really, really good hockey players. That's great if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan. But your goaltending still was not very good. And it's back to the same old same over Calgary. Matthew Tkachuk is not a leader. Matthew Tkachuk.
What are they going to do with him this summer?
You let him go. You trade him.
Really?
Absolutely. You can't write this guy a $9 million check. He's not worth it. Okay, here's the deal, and I'm going to show you something, right? If you're making $10 million in this league, you better put fear into your opposing team in the playoffs, right? I'm not talking physical fear. I'm talking, holy shit, he's got the puck. The same fear that when McDavid touches the puck, you're like, oh, my God. McDavid touches the puck, you're like, oh, my God. Cale Makar gets the puck, ooh, what's going to happen? When Matthew Tkachuk hits a puck, is there any opponent in the league that goes, oh, my God?
I mean, he's definitely had flashes of it. Yes, he has. You can't see he hasn't had
flashes of it, Blake. Okay,
he's had flashes of brilliant. Brad, he had 117 points this year.
So you're gonna pay guys on flashes of brilliance? I don't think he had 117.
I mean, I'm not saying he's worth nine, but
he's gonna get is qualifying offers 9.5.
Well, they're going to come to an agreement below that. He's going to get term, and the dollar is going to come down. That's how it works.
Well, we'll see.
He's going to get a 7-year deal, probably at around 7.5. Okay. Let's dive into the Flames offseason. Okay?
Oh, no. That's for maybe next week.
Hold on.
A big story. That's going to take – that's a long time.
So what do you do with Johnny Gaudreau?
Well, I'm more apt to sign him than I am Tkachuk.
Because 5 weeks ago, you're ready to just let Gaudreau walk.
No, I wasn't 5 weeks ago. 5 months ago, I was.
Okay, 5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So what changed?
He was a different player this year. Now, I pray it wasn't just because of his contract year, but I'm willing to take my odds on that one.
He was Calgary's best player all playoffs.
No, he wasn't.
You don't think so? Who was?
Michael Backlund. Fucking.
Really?
Team on the back. Game 4 and Game 5. You go rewatch those games. Backlund was the best player on the ice for the Flames.
That line was good.
No doubt about it. Michael Backlund.
Backlund, Dubé, and who?
Coleman,
yeah.
Backlund ran the show, man.
Yeah.
And everybody boohoos on Backlund, and he ran the damn show. And he made Tkachuk look like a moron out there. And we're going to give the money to Tkachuk. And it's not that I'm saying that I hate Matthew Tkachuk. I like him, but he's got this grandiose. I mean, let me put it this way. If his name wasn't Tkachuk, he's a $6 million guy.
Yeah, you might be right.
I don't know. But anyways, that's not why the Flames lost the series. It's tough when you have Tanev down. You had some other injuries that were plaguing you, but I'm not making excuses. Every team in the playoff plays with injuries. It's just a fact. Yeah. And Calgary did not get scoring through their whole lineup, and they didn't get good goaltending at all.
What was your thoughts on Toffoli?
Awful.
I thought he had a lot of good chances, though. He just couldn't find the back of the net.
Good players find the back of the net.
Yeah.
Toffoli looked to me like someone hooked up a 300-pound weight to his asshole.
Yeah.
He looks extremely slow. He looks Lucic slow.
He's never been the fastest skater, though.
No, I know.
He's always gotten by because he's got an unbelievable shot.
Yeah, I don't know. He wasn't good. And he had hit some moments during this season that I thought he was really good. He just wasn't good in the playoffs, man.
Yep.
He wasn't the guy that they needed him to be, you know. I don't know. He had a ton of chances. But Daryl Sutter said it. Good players figure out a way to score those chances, don't they?
Yep.
Round 3. Avalanche, Oilers, and it's out in 4. And Avalanche score 8-4-4-6. Ouch.
Yeah, I mean... Mike Smith is, this matchup, you could see this coming from a mile.
Can I ask you a question about Mike Smith? I need an honest. You were a goalie. I need an honest.
He needs to retire.
I got an honest answer. Did he not look like the most unathletic beer league looking guy out there you've ever seen in your entire life watching an NHL?
I mean, I only watched 3 games in this series. Obviously, I was in California and I was going to baseball games and stuff, but. I saw most of this series, and it's just like, it almost looked like Colorado was just too fast for him to move. Like, he couldn't get post to post very quickly. Like, he was getting beat five hole. I'm just like, is this it for this guy? Like, I don't know. I mean, Oilers fans better be praying this guy retires because.
Well,
I mean, I'll give him props. He played well during the regular season and he played.
He competes.
Good enough to beat. He played good in the first round against LA. He played good enough to beat Calgary in the second round and then he just wasn't very good in the third round. But, I mean, Darnell Nurse wasn't good. And then it comes out that he had bummed hip. I don't know.
He wasn't good no matter what.
Anyways, I mean, that's kind of alarming. You're paying that guy $9 million next year, and he was probably the Oilers' worst defenseman.
He was.
That's like, what can you say about McDavid and Draisaitl? It's like, if you're those guys, you're going, Ken Holland, give me a fucking goalie, man. Like, come on. Well, give me a goddamn goalie, because these guys put up, what was it, 59 points in the playoffs combined?
Koskinen signed in Sweden today, I believe.
He did, eh?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Gone.
Yeah, thank God.
Well, he was – okay, there was a point.
No. Doesn't he have a year left on his deal?
He signed in Sweden. It was – I saw it on multiple
– we need to do some investigating.
Multiple sources today. I saw credible sources. I don't know.
That's okay.
You better investigate quick. But now Mike Smith – he's on for one more year. I do know that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you can't go into camp with Mike Smith as your starter, can you?
No.
But do you don't have the money to go get anybody any better? Do you?
Why? He's off of the cap friendly page.
I know he's gone. He's history. He left.
I swear he was under contract, though. Okay.
I don't know.
Weird?
I don't know. Okay. I got some questions that I've put together about the first three rounds of the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're not really questions. I guess they're questions, but what do you think the best series so far has been?
The best series... Well, the series that had the most drama leading into it was the Battle of Alberta, right? Yeah.
But my vote for the best series was Tampa-Toronto.
Yeah.
That was a good series.
Well, I mean, Calgary-Dallas was a pretty good series, too.
I know.
I mean, the epic goalie duo.
But right? But there wasn't a ton of goals, talking from a pure fan.
Edmonton-LA wasn't bad either.
I liked that series myself.
That was a good series. I really liked Pittsburgh and Rangers.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
What's the worst series so far?
Honestly, it's got to be either Colorado or Nashville or Colorado-Edmonton.
I thought
whenever
it was...
Whenever somebody gets sweat, man, it's just like, come on.
I thought it was either Colorado-Nashville or one that really stood out to me, and I was so excited for...
Carolina, or no, who was it?
Florida-Tampa.
Yeah, Florida-Tampa. Four straight.
Oof.
Boy. I mean, did we even talk about that?
Let's piggyback into that. What's the most disappointing team so far?
It's got to be Florida.
I know. That's what I thought.
It has to be Florida.
That's what I thought, too.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's tough.
Who was your surprise team?
Oh, it's got to be the Rangers.
No, you know who mine was? The Edmonton Oilers.
How?
If you would have told me that they were going to make it to the conference finals... with Mike Smith as their starting goalie and Draisaitl
when they were scoring 5-6 a game.
I know, but
you're going to win a lot of games.
I don't know.
If Mike Smith's only got done 4 and you're scoring 6.
I guess what I'm trying to say is I didn't think that style of play would hold up in the playoffs. Yeah. That's probably more what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I didn't think that style would float it for 3 rounds.
Well, and it burned him against Colorado.
Yeah. Big time. Yeah.
I mean, they scored 5 goals twice and lost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're scoring 5 goals,
you
in the
better win.
You should be winning.
You better win in the regular season scoring 5 goals.
Yeah. I agree.
What team is the biggest fraud so far?
Biggest fraud?
Mm-hmm.
You're baiting me with this question.
What do you mean?
It's the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, God.
Biggest frauds.
They lost in battled. 7 to Tampa.
I don't know. Frauds.
Florida or Calgary? I don't know. That's the ones I wrote down.
Yeah, Florida. Florida, maybe. I wouldn't say Calgary's frauds because I still think they have a decent team.
Oh, they do. And I still think Florida has a wonderful team. I'd love to have Florida. You'd give your right.
Think they bring back Giroux?
No.
On a cheaper deal?
Giroux will be in Ottawa for sure.
Ottawa? No.
What?
You think he's going to Ottawa? Well, I mean, he's from there, but.
He's building a house there.
You really think he wants to,
let's go to Ottawa.
Play in Ottawa?
Yeah. Now it's just a matter of, does Ottawa want him? Think about that.
I mean, Giroux would be good for those young kids to learn under.
I don't know. Is he? I don't know.
It'd be kind of like Giordano going like in Seattle with those young kids.
That
young
worked team. So well, didn't it?
Well, I'm just saying.
Who's been the best player of the playoffs so far?
Best player in the playoffs. Best player in the ball. I mean, it's got to be McDavid. I mean, the shit that he did, dude.
Kale McCarr. Kale McCarr.
Dude.
Best player.
McDavid was so good with so little help. You know who was actually good in the playoffs? Oh. Your boy Evander Kane was good in the playoffs. He had 14 goals in the playoffs.
That's what I was just going to say. That was my next question. Who's the biggest surprise player?
It's Evander Kane.
Kane. Makes me want to puke.
That's your guy. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe he might be wearing flame red next year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll happen.
$6 million.
Yeah.
Did you see the report that for him it starts with a 7 and I laughed.
Like, starts with a 7, like 700,000 or what?
I don't know.
Starts with a 7.
The thing that I read, it starts with a 7. If it's Edmonton, anywhere else, it starts with an 8. I'm like, okay, this guy's pipe dreaming. I'll send you the tweet.
Oh, my God.
Pierre LeBrun tweeted it, too.
This guy's on crack. Holy shit.
I know.
Who's the biggest fraud player so far?
Fraud player.
I got two of them.
Fraud player.
In just the playoffs this year. Both guys I have written down here are great hockey players. Both of them were just awful in the playoffs.
What do you think of Barkov in the second round?
That's what I wrote. Alexander Barkov and Jacob Markstrom.
Yeah, Markstrom.
Both are great hockey players.
I've been watching Jacob Markstrom for most of his career. Obviously, he was in Vancouver for 5 years. I have never seen a worse 4-game stretch of this guy in a long time.
You'll probably never see it again either.
I'm just like,
probably never will.
How can you go from a 9-6-2 to that?
You probably will never see that happen again. Blake, you probably never will.
It's just, I don't know. It's tough.
What do you do, right?
Yeah.
Who's been the best goalie of the playoffs?
Well, it's Vasilevskiy. I mean,
yeah.
This guy just turns it on when it matters. Like, this guy might be the best goalie in the playoffs ever. Ever.
Yeah.
Especially if he wins another cup.
Yeah.
Three straight cups. Hard his numbers argue. In elimination games. His numbers in back-to-back, like after a loss. I don't know, man.
Who's the biggest bandwagon team? The teams that play that fans have been jumping on board with.
Well, it was Edmonton, probably.
Yeah, or the Rangers.
I mean, at least in Canada.
Or the Rangers.
Yeah.
Who's the most hated team this playoff so far? The most hated
any
team.
Any round?
Any round. Who is hated the most?
Well, Toronto is hated.
No, I'm talking by their opponents.
Oh, by their opponents. Oh, it's got to be Edmonton, Calgary.
I think Edmonton, everybody that played against Edmonton wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
You know, you got a guy like Evander Kane on your team, that makes it easier, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Zach.
You like him, though. Don't be bashing talking your guy.
I don't know. Stanley Cup Finals are set. They start on Wednesday night as Game 1 gets underway in Colorado. As the Colorado Avalanche take on the Tampa Bay Lightning, Tampa Bay goes for their third straight cup. And, Blake, here's the nuts and bolts of this. Where do you see this series going, and who do you see winning this series?
Oh, boy. You got your drunk coin?
No.
You got your drunk coin?
I don't.
Because that might decide the series.
I don't have
it. I do not know. I think Tampa's going to win in seven, but I would not be surprised if Colorado won. This is going to be one of the tightest series I've ever seen. Because, well, hold on. I should say this. If Kemper doesn't come back and play, Colorado might be in trouble. Because, like, Francois played well. Francois played well in round three. Like, he played good enough for them to win. But, I mean, you ain't going up against Mike Smith here. You're going up against one of the best goalies in the world.
This is the key to the series. Because
I just don't know if Francois can go save for save with Vasi.
I don't know. Can anybody go save for save? You're asking a question.
I think you got a better shot with Kemper.
Well, I agree. But has Kemper done anything to make you feel strongly in that case either way?
Oh, no, not really. But I feel a lot more confident in him than Francois.
I'm just going to put it to you this way.
It's going to come down to if Colorado's offense can be a powerhouse.
Here's how Colorado wins. Cale Makar dominates, Nathan MacKinnon is unstoppable, and Darcy Kemper plays adequate.
Yeah.
Okay? Here's how Tampa Bay wins. Andre Vasilevsky plays like he does all the time. Tampa Bay's depth shines. Victor Hedman is a beast in front of the net, and they don't wear out. This team has played a ton of hockey.
Both teams have to stay out of the penalty box, first of all. You give power plays to these teams, you're going to get killed. You're going to get killed.
I'm with you. I think Tampa Bay wins in six or seven, and I think it's just because of goaltending.
In my lifetime, and I went back and looked, I can't remember a matchup like this in the finals.
Oh, yeah.
I've been alive since 98.
Oh, there has been.
Name them.
What do you mean? There's always good teams playing in the
Cup maybe
playoffs.
Pittsburgh, Detroit in 09, 08.
Oh, for sure. That was an awesome. Maybe. It's as good as it gets.
But, like, dude, I can't. I don't think I can name one.
Boston, Chicago?
Yeah, but, like, that Chicago is near the end of that dynasty, though.
So is Tampa.
Are they?
I don't know. How many more years can you do it, Blake?
I don't know.
And somebody asked me.
That's one of my. That's question number two on my list.
Somebody so asked we'll me
get,
today.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Somebody,
we'll get to that. We'll
somebody, to that. Somebody asked this question. Somebody asked me today, who do you want to win the Stanley Cup, Brad? Because they know I'm a Flames fan. You know what I said? Let's have Colorado do it. Let's get it out of their system right away. They can start having cap problems, and they can fade off into the sunset. I don't know, man. I don't know. I do know one thing. It's going to be a really, really, really good series.
Yeah.
All right. Some news and notes. I just want to run through the league. We're going to go through this quick because we got to get on to three questions. Arizona Coyotes. They are not going to be allowed to have their logo at center ice. Their season ticket package prices, I don't know if you've seen them, are out of control expensive.
Yeah.
And this Tempe deal is very, very, very much up in the air. I don't know. Why did I even put this on the list to talk about? Because it is so embarrassing. that I don't even know what is there more we can even say on this. Like, why did I even put this down?
I don't know. So, like, what do you think? I haven't read much into that deal in Tempe that got proposed. Do you got more info on that?
I've read a little bit, but quite honestly, everything I've read, like, and I'm just going to be completely honest. Every time I start reading into it, I think, why would Tempe want to take this burden on? Because they want a 30-year guarantee, 30 more years of losing money. You're going to find an owner that's going to be willing to lose money for 30 more years.
I just don't understand why Gary keeps going to bat for this franchise. I don't know.
Speaking about going to bat here, the Florida Panthers, this was a hockey team that was freaking amazing all year. You loved them. I loved them. And I still love their roster. But you know what? They sold playoff tickets for $50 and couldn't even sell out. You told me that when the playoffs come, this team would pack the place and be fucking rats flying. This place is going to be, whoo, Florida's back. And no, Blake, you're wrong, man.
I mean, that's what it was like in 2015. I thought it'd be the same. And it's just like, and you can't even say, the state of Florida is not a hockey market. Go down the road, look at Tampa. It's buzzing.
You know what, though?
Every year.
You know what the problem is?
It's
Miami. Miami doesn't support any of their sports teams.
No, the Heat.
Bull crap.
They love the Heat. The Marlins and the Panthers are the only teams that struggle there. They love the Heat. That's their team.
I don't know.
Telling you.
It's just bad. It's bad. Coaches shuffle. There's 7 coach openings. And did you know?
Make me predict where they go?
No, I'm not. Do you know that?
This has got to be the most vacancies open though going into a season.
Blake, did you know that the longest tenured or the 7th longest tenured coach in the National Hockey League was hired last year?
Bruce Boudreau.
No, it was before Bruce Boudreau, but. There's only 6 coaches that have held the job longer than 2 years.
I mean, that's usually the rope. What did I say? 2 to 3 years? I said that on the podcast.
Blake, that is, I know, but that's absurd.
The longest tenure guy has got to be Cooper right now, no?
It is. I think it is.
And before that, it was Cassidy. And I think it's a joke that Cassidy got fired.
Let's talk about that. He was told 2 weeks prior to his exit interview that his job was safe. Two weeks later, gets axed. Is that chicken shit? I mean, I just don't. How does that happen? That is outrageously ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. It's this guy was there for 6 years. He made the playoffs all 6 years. Like he went to a Stanley Cup final, Game 7. Like, what more do you want from this guy? He's gonna go down. Eiserman's gonna call him up. He's gonna be the next coach in Detroit. I promise you that.
I don't know.
He's going to Detroit.
So Tortorella,
Detroit, young team, Eiserman, he's going to want to bring a veteran coach in that has had winning teams. He's going to create a winning culture there, and I think Boston is going to regret this move so much.
I don't know, man. Where does Trotz end up? He interviewed in Philly. He interviewed in Winnipeg.
I think he goes back. I think he goes to Winnipeg. So he's going to go home.
Does Tortorella get hired?
I mean,
I don't think
Torts kind of maybe Torts goes to Boston. maybe Philly.
Philly, he's interviewed there. I don't know.
Those are the only two teams. Okay, so who needs a coach? It's Detroit. It's Dallas. It's Philly. Winnipeg. Who's the other two?
I don't even know. There's 7 of them. I don't know.
Trying to think here. Detroit, Philly, Winnipeg, Dallas, Boston.
I think DJ Smith is the 4th longest tenured coach in the league. Oh, my God. Moving on here. I got to ask your opinion on something. The Flames were accused of targeting Dreisaitl's ankle.
Who?
The Flames.
Calgary?
Yeah.
I mean, some of the footage, I mean, they're cross-check. It wasn't like... I think the Kings targeted it more.
Is that not what you're supposed to do?
Yeah.
So when Tanev came back, was Edmonton...
They went after him hard.
Oh, yeah. But nobody in Calgary was boo-hooing that, were they?
No.
Nobody in Calgary whined?
No.
Controversy. Well, I want to get your take on just a couple things. The Kane hit on Kadri.
Yeah. Kane hit on Kadri. I don't think it was a suspendable hit. Like who was it? I think it was Crosby in the first round. Had a similar hit. And there's no penalty. It was the exact same thing.
Yeah, but that was
and dirty. That tells you that tells me it's a reputation call. Evander Kane. Kadri is hurt, didn't return the game. He's
that, you can't have hits like that in hockey. Can't. You just but can't.
Like, Kadri was already going down, though. Kadri was already falling.
What was your thoughts on the Colorado high stick? Was that a high stick in the Edmonton series?
I mean...
Or was that the hockey god saying, boy, we screwed up on the... Kick-in goal at Calgary head. Here you go. We're going to get you one back. Thing.
If it was called no goal on the ice, it would have been no goal.
I know.
The fact that it was called a goal on the ice, you can't over. There's no evidence that you can have the overturn that.
They overturned the kick.
No, but I'm saying like a high stick, you got to have conclusive, concrete evidence that.
Same with a kick-in.
We're in 2022, though. We're in 2022. You would think there would be some kind of technology in the crossbar. It's like a thing, a light goes off if the stick goes above the, you know what I mean?
I'll tell you what.
Think about that?
Let's just make it so that high sticks are fine.
I don't know.
That's just exactly what you said earlier in the show.
Yeah, but, I don't know.
Let's see. What did you think of the Makar offsides or not offsides?
I think it was onside.
You do, huh?
He took the puck over. He didn't have possession. He waited for his guy to tag up. His feet were behind the line. He wasn't touching the puck. Guy tags up. He touches the puck. He goes and scores. I just see a problem with it. I don't know what the uproar was.
When it happened, though, it looked very offsides.
It's like, especially when you see it in slow-mo, it's like, what are these people bitching about? It's onside.
Yeah,
it's a delayed offside, and if Makar would have touched that puck and the guy is trapped offside, it's offside. That's why they made the rule delayed offside for stuff like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. There were so many people with like check marks on Twitter. This is offside. It's the worst call in NHL history. I'm like, dude, how?
So the Buffalo Sabres acquire Ben Bishop from the Dallas Stars. Can you enlighten me on why this trade happened?
What do you mean? That's only one reason.
Why? Cap?
To clear cap. Yeah. They just took his contract on. He's going to go on LTIR.
Yeah.
He's retired.
Yeah.
Smart move by Dallas.
Makes sense.
It's basically like he's already going to be on their LTIR, so it's not really cap reasons. Like Buffalo basically just said, like, we'll pay this guy's last year of the deal.
Yeah.
That's basically what they did. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All righty. Time for three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Blake's turn to fire three questions at me. Go.
One of my questions you already asked me.
What is it?
Who is the disappointing team in the playoffs? That was one of my questions. Yeah. What did you say again?
Florida or Calgary?
Yeah. Is this Tampa's... Or sorry. Is this Tampa Bay team the best run you've ever seen?
No.
No?
What do you mean best run you've ever seen?
Like this group.
Yeah.
Like dynasty-wise, okay, take out like the 80s and like the Islanders and the Oil, like in a cap era, it's got to be up there, no?
Okay, in the cap era, it's the only one, Blake. How's that sound?
Well, I mean, you got like who do you what di- like if
you mean if you want Tampa, me to compare Pittsburgh if Detroit
Tampa Bay wins, if Tampa Bay wins, okay, mm-hmm. they three-peat, mm-hmm. right? What team or dynasty do you think was better, Chicago's dynasty or this dynasty?
This dynasty.
Think so?
Yeah, because they've done it with multiple different
pieces,
and every time they plug a piece in, it works like
well,
a fucking.
So did Chicago though. So did Chicago.
But every time this team did it though, their pieces plugged in perfectly.
Yeah, like the trades they made, like mm-hmm. Hagel, Coleman, Barclay, Gaudreau,
everything.
Out of all the teams that were eliminated, what team is the closest to contending for a Stanley Cup?
Calgary Flames.
You think so? Not if they let go of Gaudreau.
Now, I had to preface that. If we could play next year with the exact same roster, but that's not the way it works in hockey. There's not a team that I'm looking at, besides maybe the Florida Panthers, that isn't going to have a ton of turnover this year. A ton. I don't know how you answer that question fully. Because next year is a whole new ball game with whole new rosters. And Florida's probably set up the best of all of them.
How are you feeling if you're Andrew Brunette right now, though? They just fired his whole staff.
I'd feel like you're going to get fired because you should get fired.
You think?
You know what I would do if I was Florida?
He was kind of thrown in the fire, though.
Here, you want to know what I'd do if
Quimble
I was...
Quimble gets fired if something happens in 2010 and this guy gets promoted.
You want to know what I'd do?
I thought he did a hell of a job.
You know what I'd want to do? You know what I'd do if I was the Florida Panthers tomorrow? I'd fire Andrew Brunette. Not probably because he deserves it, but here's what I would do. I'd fire Andrew Brunette. I'd hire Joel Quenneville. I'd tell the league to shove it up their rear end. I want to win hockey games, and we'd win hockey games.
That's not going to happen.
Somebody else is going to hire him.
No.
Yeah, they are.
You think so?
Joel Quenneville and Mike Babcock will both...
Joel Quenneville has coached his last game behind the NHL bench.
No, he hasn't. No, he has not.
You're going to hire him.
I'd hire him.
The NHL will not allow that to happen.
Why? They can't. They get sued. They get sued out of their ass.
They just told Joel Quenneville to resign.
They have no legal ramifications, and he's getting paid still, I guarantee it to this day. They have no legal ramifications to fire him at all. None. He could sue their ass so bad and win, it wouldn't even be funny.
I'm going to hold you to that.
He has not coached his last game.
I don't think he coaches another game behind a bench.
And if Florida was smart, they would say that. And they'd say, you know what? We're here to win hockey games, right? That's what you want every team in the league to do. We're going to do it.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I'm just saying that's what if they
nice
want.
Nice fiery speech, though.
If they want to win hockey games, that's what they should do. Questions, listener questions, not a listener question. It's a question I came up with because I got to get to the bottom of this. I need to know this. Mark Giordano signs a 2-year contract extension for $800,000 when he was offered more money from the Maple Leafs. He says, "No, it's not going to work with your cap space. I'll do it for $800,000. I'll take a less contract." In a world where we have NBA players that jump teams every single year to make $700 million and pro golfers leaving the best pro golf tour to make buco amounts of money that'll be forgotten in 2 years because they're not going to get any exposure, is Mark Giordano one of the last great human beings that really wants to truly win?
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to for him. I mean, the fact that I think Calgary offered him $1.5 million over 2 years, and he said, "I'll sign for $800,000." So,
no, Toronto offered him.
That's what I'm saying. They offered him $1.5 million and
per year.
Yeah, per year. The fact that he's that unselfish and realizes like big picture, you know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah, that he's a team first guy. He's been one of my favorite players, I mean, since he's come in. I mean, he's a heart and soul guy. So, yeah, that's good for him.
I just thought it was a wonderful look for the National Hockey League to have guys that want to win, that still sit in their stalls at night, take their skates off, and say, I want Lord Stanley's Cup. So it was great. All right, another show in the books. We're back on June 27th to put a wrap on the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll talk about the finals, break down the entire NHL season. Yeah, lots to talk about because I think this series is going to go down as one of the greatest series of all time. And, God, I hope I'm not wrong on that because it's got the makings of it. Check us out on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. Get on over to debatehockey.com for all your episodes, NHL news, and everything. Enjoy the Stanley Cup Finals. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars_Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.